Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday, October 24th. It is raining, not right now. It just stopped like maybe 5 minutes ago in Bradenton. Last night I videotaped the rain just so I could like hear it whenever I needed to hear it again. It poured last night. So I really just can't tell you how much that feels good. Although it's humid like heck, but it's supposed to be gone sometime today. But I'm actually getting used to the humidity. Yesterday it was hard to breathe in. And by last night, I was able to, like, walk in it and kind of do that. So, you know, you kind of grow into your environment, but at first, it just feels so weird. So it's very, very cool. It's just an awesome trip. You know, Thoughtic's doing well, the whole Pirates organization. I'm in their parking lot right now because I just dropped them off, and I can't leave until we're done with the show. But I really realized something yesterday, and I know that people all want to be happy. I get that. I used to say all the time, how could you not want to be happy? Because I didn't realize that at times we're invested in just trying to avoid pain or to avoid being hurt or to avoid feeling uncomfortable. So what we do is we hedge being uncomfortable instead of being hurt, instead of trying anything. What we do is we just avoid happiness altogether because then we have nothing to lose. And I thought, how do we do that? That's like a trick, double trick. All of a sudden you're in one place and you're saying, yeah, I want to be happy. But then the happiness comes and you find a way to make it go away so that you don't get involved. You don't get invested. And then boom, after you don't get invested, you wonder why you're never happy. And happiness is an investment. It's an investment in yourself because wait and see what Christ said today about why we are afraid of happiness. And it, you know, I feel like it has been teaching us step by step by step, these million baby steps, but now he's like getting to the meat of us. And look at how long it took. And we've been doing this show for 3.5 years now. Not one day, not 2 days, but 3.5 years. And here we are just trying to say, you know what? Why is it that we're scared of being happy? What's wrong with us that we don't even know we want to be happy? Well, I'll tell you, the things that he said, and I just lost the show on my phone, but the things that he said about being happy have turned my world upside down. Because I always thought our happiness was based on how we felt about our lives. But it goes way deeper than that. Because I realized yesterday that, you know what? A lot of times the things that people say they want, when they get it, whether it's a person, a job, a car, a house, having children, all these things, once they get it, they no longer care about it. They're like, okay, I've done that. And with kids, you can't feel like that. And with a house, what do? Keep moving. And with a car, what do? Keep buying new cars. Why do we not settle into the happiness we seek? What we want more important than getting it? So I posed the question to Christ this morning, and it was right before we left, and I was waiting for my son to get ready, and I said, you know, God, what is it that stops us? And he said, fear. And that fear that we have of our own happiness creates a negative energy exchange. because now we are exchanging energy with fear. Even if it's the fear of happiness, it's like we dare life to make us happy. We dare life to come through with our dream. We dare life to get what we want. Dare life. Oh, that'll never happen for me. Oh, I'll never get that. That's for other people, whoever the other people are, even though you are an other people to people. But he said, it all stems back to faith. Having faith in whatever you have faith in, it goes back to how you feel about faith. There have been studies done in hospitals of cancer patients. City of Hope did this, and they built an entire wing to the City of Hope, which is a place where people travel from around the world to come to cancer. And they have like these little apartments, and their entire family can stay with them because they learned and they knew that when people have family around them and they have faith, that combination, they healed better. And as a result of years of study of doing that, they built an emotional, or not an emotional, a health center, a whole wing of it, just dedicated to making sure that the people who were in the hospital had someone come visit them and talk to them about faith. How you feel about God, how you feel about people, directly correlates to how well you accept happiness. People who are bound together by faith, whatever it is they believe, but when they're bound together by believing the same things, have the strongest relationships because they both know where they're going. They can see past the wanting. They can see the gratefulness, the thankfulness, the appreciation, taking care of what we get once we get it. Because when we don't have faith, do not trust that we are ultimately okay, and that takes us to how we feel about other people, and we do not trust that other people are okay. Not having faith is so far-reaching into your life, into your psyche, that the gift of Christ coming through me and coming through other people around the world is the reminder, just the reminder of the bigger picture. Like Christ said, we all already know these things, but we just forgot. We forgot under the umbrellas of pressure, of stress, of constant change, of trying not to change, of all the mixed signals of how we should feel about ourselves, of insecurity being taught to us instead of security, of faith being taught to us through fear instead of love. Feelings that we carry that we don't understand is because they don't make sense. We aren't naturally insecure. We aren't naturally without faith. But when unnatural things start to predominate in our lives, now we're forced to deal with a whole other subset of issues that come with that. And we have done that to ourselves over time, and now we're recognizing that we've done that, and we're trying to rebuild what we already know. I have to tell you guys, last night, my son had his compression pants that he wears for baseball practice and for working out and all these things. And I said, you know, Tark, we need to get you new ones. The ones you have holes in them. It's embarrassing. I just sent you here with these with holes in them. And I didn't want to buy them because they were like $30 each. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I know that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it was to me. And I didn't want to buy them before we left. And I thought, well, we can make it. But we found a Walmart right next to where our hotel is. And we don't have Walmarts close to us in California, so we don't know the value. And we went in and we bought compression pants. And at Walmart, they were only like $12. So, okay, I'm like, we could do that. And we were buying them and we were standing in line. And there were carts of people, couples, who filled their carts with all this food, packaged food, processed food. And I'm looking in the carts and I'm seeing all this food, and I'm looking at the couple spend their hard-earned money on stuff that's deforming our bodies by putting weight on us in different ways, not in a natural way, because they found out GMOs do pack on the fat. You could eat the same amount of food of any other food, cleaner food, and you just won't gain the weight. You'll just gain it because of what's in the food you're eating, not the amount, even though it's addictive, more addictive. And I'm looking at them and looking at how proud they feel that they're taking care of their families, that they bought the right foods, they think. And I'm looking in the cart, and I was just trying to find one redeeming thing, and I couldn't. And I literally, like, wanted to save these people from just, but what do? You stop and you tell them all, don't buy this food. And I'm watching them pay, and I'm watching the woman feel proud that she's taking care of her family. I'm watching the father feel happy that he was able to provide this for them. And I thought, how did we get to a place where we make products that hurt us and we sell them? And we believe we're doing well to the people who don't know. Remember, those who know will teach those who don't, and those who don't will teach those who don't want to. Those who know, who produce, who make, who provide this food are selling it to those who don't know and those who don't want to know. And I thought, wow, God, I always thought of that as just this knowledge. But that's how we got here. That's how we got to insecurity. That's how we got to fear. That's how we got to being scared to actually be happy. Because when we're happy, sometimes we stop questioning. And that scares us too. But true happiness opens up our intellect to accepting a lot of other things. Because that's feeling happy. That's just feeling like we're making it. We didn't set our sets up higher, our goals up higher for life. We don't investigate, okay, what are we eating? Why are we gaining this kind of weight? What's happening to us? Why do I keep choosing people who want to control me in relationships? Why don't I better decisions for myself? When we start to ask these kinds of questions of ourselves, have I done my best today? Do I feel good when I go to bed at night? Can I accept feeling good when I go to bed at night? Just ask yourself questions. Ask questions of God, because he will answer them. You will wake up the next day and you'll start hearing things, and they'll be like, wow, I just asked that question last night. What just happened? Or you'll hear the people who are talking about those things to you. It's absolutely amazing what happens when you believe that there's more to you than just you. When you believe that what you ask of the world, you can really find. And that when you don't get what you want, that maybe it wasn't yours if you tried. There's so much to understand about faith, and yet so little to understand about faith. Faith is the easiest thing and the hardest thing at the same time, because sometimes we ask of things that aren't ours and we think we really want them. But to trust that every day ends as it should, add to that when I do my best. Because we can sit around all day and say, well, today's just going to end as it should, so maybe I shouldn't do anything. But that's not how life works, because we didn't come here to do nothing. We came here to thrive. We came here to grow. We came here to learn. We came here to interact. We came here to share. We came here to help each other. Some came for just service. Others came to just do things. Others came to be catalysts. Everybody has a role. No one's role more important than another, because we need each other to work with, to work against, to work for, to learn how to, you know, resolve, to learn how to grow through conflict. The reason everybody on earth has a challenge is because we came here to be challenged. We don't look at them as problems and, oh my God, every time I solve one thing, another thing pops up. Well, yeah, that's exactly what you're here for. And when you have faith, you know that that's why you're here. You know that that's what you came here to do, to feel, to touch, to be. If you can't figure something out, thank God that you can't figure it out. Say to God, wow, this is a great challenge. This is what I think I should do. Let me try this tomorrow. And then you may try it tomorrow. And you're like, oh, wow, I don't know if that's the answer because I don't really feel right. Nothing really fell into place. Let me try again. And then you try again. And you say, oh, wait, I'm starting to see. Now, wait, oh, my God, when I was sleeping, I had a dream that I fixed it this way. Or you have this quick insight during the day and the magic starts happening. You start happening. Your life starts happening. Faith is our magic. Faith is who we are when we know who we are, when we know why we are. When people ask me why they are here, I now can say, how close are you to believing in a bigger picture? Because we're all part of the bigger picture, each one of us. When Christ told me this is your job, I thought, but wait a second, where does my paycheck come from? I have a job, and I work all week, and I have two young kids. Said, this is your job. You will become it, and it will become you. And you know, it came so quietly, but with so much strength behind it. I knew that one day that's what was going to happen, and sure enough, it did, with or without me. Because I had the faith in Christ and what I heard. And I think the weirdest part of seeing Christ was detaching or understanding the role of religion. It didn't take it away or make it bigger. No, it just detached it. Like, I get why there's religion. I get why people need churches and community centers and areas where we can help other people. And these are the forums to do it. Whatever someone chooses to believe and how to do it, the bottom line is that's what churches provide for communities. Christ is separate. Christ is for everybody. Even though we say that in every church, that God created everybody, sometimes we only think it's us that He created, the ones in this church. But when we have faith, we understand that we all came here to work together, and however we get to God, it doesn't matter. As long as it makes us feel good in that avenue, as long as it encourages us to look beyond the stuff that doesn't work and pay attention to everything that does work, all of that gives us trust in people, gives us trust in ourselves, is a building block to the next thing in life, which is to live our life in a way that makes us happy, because then we can accept that happiness. Like, yeah, yeah, I'm happy. No, I'm happy, but if I could just solve this, or I'm happy, but this person or that person isn't doing what I want them to do, or this person is hurting me, or this person isn't listening to me. We just say, you know what? I'm going to do my best there. And the minute you say that, all the pressure goes away, because what have you just exchanged energy with? Your best. When you have faith, who are you exchanging energy with? God! Is there a better energy exchange than exchanging energy with God? Not yet. Not one that I felt. And when I do that with God, and I talk to God, and I write to God, and I have my conversations, when I have my conversation with you, it's with that same feeling. Because when you exchange energy with God, with through your faith, what happens to you is you start to recognize that feeling, and you cannot settle for less. If there's one piece of advice I would give anyone after seeing Christ, is talk to him, to God. Talk to Christ. Let yourself feel that love so that you know what it feels like. Because when you know what it feels like, you have just risen in your standards of what you will accept from yourself. Even in my darkest pain, when I was married and my husband wasn't talking to me and he didn't want me to have the children I had, and he was just, there was nothing I could do right. There was something I could do right. I woke up and wrote to God in the middle of the night to relieve myself of what I was seeing in this world. Faith and that writing brought me to today. What looked like the worst time in my life was the best time in my life, because that's where I found me. I remember before seeing Christ, and my mom horrified that her daughter was getting divorced, and horrified in the community, and wanted me to go back to Chicago and then remarry. But now I was like used, and I would have to marry a man who was married before, and they were going to do the whole arrangement thing all over again. And I'm like, whoa, 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 put the brakes on. That isn't happening. I did it everybody's way the first time. But I have earned the right to decide what happens in my life. And no, I'm not moving back to Chicago. I'm staying here. And I did. And my mom would come visit me. And I'd tell her, don't worry about me now. You should have worried about me when I was married. Because now I feel completely peaceful. I feel completely happy that at the very least, I don't have a human being in my life that walks in and attacks my faith, attacks me, makes fun of me for fasting for God, or makes fun of me for praying, makes fun of me that I believe in God. I would rather have that than the person who's trying to hurt it. At least nobody is doing that to me anymore. So now I'm happy. Now is when you don't need to worry about me. She understood it, but it scared her for us to be single, especially a single mom. But but I made it. I made it because I had not only faith in me, but in human beings, even in their dad. He couldn't help the issues he had. I believe he did his best. When he wanted to fight me, I didn't fight back. I didn't need to. Because I knew that over time, I could see that we were going to raise these children, and I wanted to raise them happily. I wanted to keep them in the same home, in the same schools. I didn't want their whole life to go upside down, and I fought for that, and I did it somehow. There wasn't a day that went by that at the end of it, before I slept, I would write to God. I needed a partner, and I didn't have a human partner. And my faith carried me through these times. And when I did meet people, then I would see, okay, what do they believe? That's the most important question you could ask anyone you are going to share your life with. Even if you may believe different things, but believe in the ultimate same thing, you can make it. But if you have one who does and one who doesn't, it's going to be a challenge, because when times get tough, how you deal with those situations will be a challenge. Because one's going to feel like, oh my gosh, nothing's ever going to work out for us. And the other one's going to be like, have faith. You may be able to teach them faith by what you feel, by your example. Powerful answer we have. So when we are scared of happiness, and we can't appreciate what we have when we get it, we just shoot for something else, we are postponing our happiness until we think we get what we want. But then when we get what we want, we decide we want something else. And then there you go. A whole lifetime can be lived on that train. It's like you're always on the train. You never get off and see the cities that you're passing through and feel it and learn it and grow with it. So today's topic about happiness ended up being about faith. Fear of happiness directly equates to the levels of faith that we have. Trusting people, knowing there's a bigger picture. That's what I think of when I think of God. God is the bigger picture. We build these buildings, and, you know, it's ironic that I'm in Florida after the hurricanes, that, you know, we build these buildings that look huge to our little bodies. But to a hurricane, that's just in the way. That's just in the way. It's amazing, the different perspectives. Greatest energy exchange ever. We are designed to know there's more, to understand there's bigger, to enjoy and stay in a sustaining mental state, to be able to enjoy and be grateful so that we can balance the challenges we face through faith. Oh, you guys, it's done for today. Tomorrow is Relationship Wednesday. I'll again be broadcasting from Florida. So I will see you then. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.